The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy on Thursday morning. It's the 20th of February, 2020. That's a whole heap of 20s. And we are here till, 10 o'clock. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. Squally and blustery, that sort of a day outside in Dublin, at least. So bring an umbrella and nerves of steel. At 4 minutes past nine, what have we got for you? Well, we've got plenty to discuss, including we're going to be chatting with the chief of the NYPD a little later on, Thierry Monaghan, and we'll give you the latest on what he has to say about the world in New York City. It's just one of those extraordinary places. I think you probably know at this stage that I'm a fan of the place and go there as much as I can, but it's just such an extraordinary place that you're never bored, and if you are, just don't go back. It's so buzzy and bright and brilliant, and you always come back, I think, slightly elevated, kind of enhanced in terms of mood and sense of place and the world. Just getting that yellow cab from JFK Airport out the road, and as soon as the Manhattan skyline emerges from nothing, you just think, holy smoke. And you get there and you're in a movie set, and the noises and the smells and the relentless sounds of the city just make the place so magnetic. And with that in mind, we'll be talking to the NYPD police chief who took his badge and gun, as it were, in 1982, when New York was a very different place to the one I would have started visiting 20 years ago, when it was a much safer place. And and now we have this fascinating sight. You might have watched some of the Democratic debate last night with former New York Mayor Bloomberg, Mike Bloomberg, arriving onto the stage, having not even contested the first number of caucuses and primaries. He just decided, no, I'm going to come into the big ones. He has more money than sense or God, depending on where you're coming from. And he was allowed to debate with the old hands last night. How did he get on? Well, I didn't watch the debate. Obviously, it was at stupid o'clock, so I wasn't going to watch that. But we have some highlights here. And what they're saying is that Elizabeth Warren, Senator, really needed to deliver here. Otherwise, she was going to be consigned to a constant third, fourth place situation. Sanders is doing very well in the spot of bother, it would seem, because he's not releasing his health records. Doesn't bother Donald Trump when it comes to certain records not being released. But this is a different story, and they hold themselves up to a different standard, it seems, in the Democratic Party. So what happened? Well, Elizabeth Warren obviously decided, I'm going after him, and goes to the former mayor of New York, Mike Bloomberg, and says, You, not so much.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win if we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns, of harassing women, and of supporting racist policies like redlining and stop and frisk. Look, I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is, but understand this. Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Yeah, well, she brought the big guns out to have her go at Bloomberg last night, but that wasn't she wasn't finished there. My gosh, she had more to say.
The mayor has to stand on his record. And what we need to know is exactly what's lurking out there. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is
that?
Let
me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accused me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told. And let me just point, there's agreements between two parties that wanted to keep it quiet, and that's up to them. They signed those agreements, so, and we'll live with it.
So wait. Oh,
this thing just got a whole lot uglier. We will watch. So what is the winners and losers? They're saying Biden had a good night, Sanders had a bad night, Warren had a good night. Buttigieg had a bad night. Bloomberg had a bad night. Klobuchar had a good night. That's if you're watching it. Klobuchar. That's the latest on the Democratic race, which is, I'll leave it there because I'm anoracking, but I'm telling you, it's an exciting place to be if you're into it. So let's keep going. We talked about the very kind gift I got of Pit Putty, which was cinnamon scented, almost like lip balm that's meant for your as a deodorant. You apply it to under your arms and it does a job. As I said, it wouldn't be for me, but I appreciated the kind gesture. But it brings us to Mark Zuckerberg, who is, of course, the man in charge of and founder of Facebook. And there's a new book written about Facebook, The Inside Story by Stephen Levy. And in it, there's an anecdote about Mr. Zuckerberg having a member of his communication team dry his armpits before before he gave a speech. So he's going to deliver a speech. He's getting nervous. He only wears T-shirts, doesn't he? He's like Steve Jobs and it's that sort of, he wears a grey T-shirt. That's his look. And he gets nervous. He gets what's called anxiety sweat. Happens to everybody, as far as I know. And the story goes that he turns around to his team and says, who's got the dryer? Because I need to get these pits dried. Not sure if it's the greatest crime against humanity. I think it's probably the gag being that he got, or the point being that he got somebody else to do it for him, rather than head to the men's hand dryer and to hit that one. Could that work? That'd be awkward. And you don't want somebody to come in on you as you're doing. No. Anyway, that's the Zuckerberg. If you're Mark Zuckerberg, you have people to do that, who follow you around to dry your arms in the initial moment of nervousness. You know when you're at your computer, and I'm doing this thing that I always remember Noel Gallagher's mother, the clip of him telling a story about his mother. Go, do you know Mary, who's near the sister, who knew the friend? Yeah, dad. Well, it's a bit like that. You know when you're at your computer and you've got something that you want to copy, paste, send it on, do that. That whole copy, paste thing, cut, copy, paste thing was invented by a human being called Larry Tesler. Anyway, he died. Age 74. Just so you know, that there was somebody behind that. That stuff just doesn't happen. Larry made that happen, just so you know. And Larry's not with us anymore, so it's important. I was overlooking one of the lads upstairs' shoulders as they were looking at the RT guide yesterday. I said, that looks good. What's that? Tales of the Unexpected. So it's just a piece on by Michael Doherty about Jordan Peele, the guy who did Us and Get Out, who's done the new run of The Twilight Zone, which is one of my all-time favourite programmes to watch. Still love watching it. And there's going to be a new series of it. The first episode sees Adam Scott, who you'll know from Big Little Lies and stuff like that, as a journalist who's taking a trip on a commercial flight. And while on board, he stumbles across a true crime podcast. And the podcast seems to describe how the aircraft he and the rest of the passengers are on is fated to disappear. Isn't that brilliant? I mean, that's why I love these great stories. I'm armed with this horrific knowledge. The fate of this aircraft and everyone on board is in his hands because he's listening to the podcast describing where they are. I just love the... I was chatting to my pals over on TV only yesterday about audiobooks. And there was a feeling that audiobooks sometimes can be quite hard for some of us, for saying, you know, if you're driving along, I'm my concentration's gone. I'll miss a chapter or I'll miss 10 paragraphs. And I'm like, do we rewind or do I? It's I'm not really able for it as such. And I was saying that when I had a CD player in my car once upon a time, I bought these brilliant Roald Dahl Tales of the Unexpected as read by great actors, and they were 20 minute full stories, in and out, you're gone. And that was great. That was a great way to do it. And then I was trying to get rid of my Audible app because I'd only downloaded it because I wanted it to listen to West Cork or something like that. I don't want audiobooks. And I think I realised I was paying a few bob a month or something. So somebody else helped me get rid of that, which was dead handy. And then somebody else said, BookBorrow, or is that what it's called? Could you just check that up? BookBorrow is an app that allows you to borrow audiobooks from your local library here in Ireland. All you need is your library card number, log on, and all the rest. I meant to do it last night, but it just sounds like a much better way of being kind of tied into some monthly payment, which is the way they get you the whole time. Netflix monthly payment, and it goes up, and you wouldn't even know. All these, you know, monthly little things add up in the end. But this one seems like a really smart way of getting audiobooks without having to go through the palaver of opening an account with another firm, with another company or what have you. But that's one to look into, and I'll get the librariesireland.ie will get you there, and it's very, very useful by all accounts. I'm going to try it next week, and I'll come back to you and see what you think of that. Keeping it mildly bookish, Oxford University has shocked classics students by proposing to drop two of the most important texts from its syllabus. What, ye gods? Virgil's Aeneid and Homer's Iliad may be made optional in an attempt to modernise the degree course amid a drop in schools teaching Latin and Greek. But undergraduates say the works are vital to understanding the subject. But that you'd want to be in Oxford now for that to be a big issue in your life, would you not? Thank you to the OPW friends. They sent out a card for annual membership heritage card to our wonderful guest who was on the programme with us not too long ago, talking about her family, Karen, and her family who were going to all the museums. But thanks to Aisling Heffernan, who not only included the booklet about Ireland's historic gardens and different things from the OPW, but also, having heard me talk about cinnamon, put some packets of Richie's cinnamon lozenges, which I was sharing yesterday, which were very, very interesting as these sweets go. So thank you. It's very, very thoughtful, and I appreciate it immensely. Now, at 9:15, I don't know why this song has been in my head in terms of all the talk of James Bond recently, but it's not one that I would have said was a favourite, but I've kind of grown to like it more and more in recent times. So that's where we're going to begin here. That's it, Chris Cornell, and you know my name from Casino Royale. I never texted the show, but had to, because I think this is such an underrated Bond song. It is my favourite, says a text who's into it, and that's good news. Borrow Box, that's the thing you want in terms of the app, which will get you access to, as Denise in Newbridge says, all our wonderful public libraries, books, audiobooks, everything, all available. And thank you. You must have a library card, Jackie Cronin reminds us also. So get on to that, as I will, and we'll see how usable and user-friendly it is, and I'll revert to you, because it would want to be fairly simple for me to navigate it, let's face it. Watched the new Tom Hanks film, A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood. And in it, he stars as a guy called Mr. Rogers, who is a uniquely American phenomenon, something that didn't travel across the ocean. He presented what was essentially a children's program, which seemed to talk about difficult subjects, whether it was pain or jealousy or love or hate or war. And he used puppets, and he was just considered like a father of the nation type figure. And it was, but the film itself is based really on an article written by an Esquire journalist who goes to find out what he was really like in real life. Turns out it's not really about Mr. Rogers at all. It's about the journalist and his personal story, but that's reflected by Mr. Rogers, gives him advice along the way. It's not a film I'd be urging you to go and see, to be honest with you, because I don't think it would work for everyone. I think you'd come back to me and say, that was a bit boring. Why were you into it? I was just curious because he was a TV presenter. Yeah, I felt there was a kind of toy show connotations in it a little bit. I thought I'd be curious to see what's that like. Not that I'm putting myself in the same bracket as him. He seems to be, you know, much different, a more important sort of figure in American culture, etc., etc. But I was just curious from afar. And what would I say? Yeah, it's a curious little movie. I didn't dislike it. I was emotionally engaged with it. But I couldn't really broadly recommend it. That's the truth of it. So in other words, you decide for yourselves on this one, as opposed to, I'd say, yeah, like that book we did the other morning, Dear Edward. I would definitely recommend that. Definitely pick that up. I think you'd really like it. Now, Peter is in Finglas. Good morning, Ryan. You mentioned Tales of the Unexpected. I sure did. Have you ever seen the excellent series Number 9? Inside Number 9? Inside Number 9. Great for binge watching. 30 short stories, around half an hour, all revolving around the Number 9. I tried watching one where they all ended up in a cupboard or a press of some sort. and it didn't do anything for me. Now, what I might do is go back and because I've got the Twilight Zone. I thought Black Mirror was really good, except that it started giving me an ulcer because it put me on edge a little bit. But I'll try another episode of that and we'll see how we go. How about that? That's a fair deal.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Love that New York accent, JOC says by text. It's a particular brand of it as well from our previous guest. They're just back, says Fiona in Dundalk from Brooklyn, New York. I'd lived there for 5 years in the 80s. It's a much safer, friendlier place to be now. I love the anti-racist notices on public transport. A lot of work has been done. That's the truth, and it's a good thing. I was listening to them talking on Morning Ireland about the new Windmill Lane experience, a kind of museum that lets you into see where they recorded some of the great albums in Ireland in the last few decades. Anyway, it featured Fiacnó No Brennan from the Hot House Flowers chatting away, and I thought, God, he's a very nice fella. And I thought, the Hot House Flowers, remember that album with the faces on the front of it, the vinyl album? I remember going to see them. It's one track I always liked from that album. I thought, do you know what? I think I'll give it a run out today. 51551 is the text number. Lots more to come. It's 21 minutes to 10. When I first met you, darling. So the Hot House Flowers, Love Don't Work This Way, the female vocalist on that was, and I didn't know, but the lads outside knew straight away, it's Maria Doyle Kennedy. It didn't click with me at all, but great little tune. That Carol Kenny Fettered was on to say, went to New York in 1989 and got so many rules from a friend living there about keeping safe. Went back twice in 2017. What a difference. Wonderful city, exactly as you described it, as you get out of Kennedy Airport, the noise, the buzz, it was electric. Electric. And what a lovely man Terry is, says the text, and what an achievement for him and his family. It's certainly great to hear he's a proud Irishman doing a brave and courageous job out in New York City. Barry Walsh is keeping it local. He says Mr. Rogers is great and all, but he doesn't have a magic door, he doesn't have a whirligig shop, and he certainly doesn't have a Wanderley wagon. Here. Good day, sir. Lived with my family in the US in the 90s, says the text, and my children loved Mr. Rogers. The world needs hundreds of Mr. Rogers to help children deal with modern challenges. Well, he certainly obviously helped a generation or two along the way.